Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine.
Music Spotlight. I'm Michael Thomas Jr. for Radio Free Phoenix Music Spotlight. For this edition of Music Spotlight, we spoke with the ever multi-talented singer and songwriter, Beth Rowley. The Bristol United Kingdom native and bass musician has been deeply ingrained in the music scene, expressing sultry styles of blues, jazz, contemporary pop, and gospel-inspired songs that have garnered Rowley great acclaim and attention. Rowley began her career upon teaming up with the great jazz saxophonist Ben Castle, well known for his work with another fellow UK-based musician, Jamie Colum. And after years of great encouragement and assistance, Miss Rowley released three very successful EPs, starting with her self-titled Beth Rowley in 2004, followed by Sweet Hours in 2006, which followed Violets in 2007, from which she released a single entitled Nobody's Fault But Mine, which was the iTunes Single of the Week in December of that year. In addition to her solo outputs, Rowley has collaborated with great noteworthy artists and bands, including Crowded House on their Time on Earth album, in which she provided backing vocals for the great song Transit Lounge, as well as Duke Special, who joined her for a duet on her debut album Little Dreamer, released under Universal Music in 2008, a release that went straight into the UK album charts, going all the way up to number 6, which was followed by a single, Oh My Life, released in March of that year, in which the album was noted for BBC Radio 2's Record of the Week. Upon Miss Rowley's first full-featured studio album, she continued to gain further attention as she was featured in the nightclub scene in the Academy Award-nominated 2009 film, An Education, a film starring the likes of Carey Mulligan, Peter Sarsgaard, and Alfred Molina, and was directed by Lone Scherfing. A scene that included her penned track, You've Got Me Wrapped Around My Little Finger, in which she performs in the scene and is featured prominently in the film's soundtrack. Among that recording, she also contributed another song to the movie's soundtrack that included a cover of the great jazz standard Sunday Kind of Love. In addition to her soundtrack contributions, Miss Rowley's most recent release comes with new music material from the EP titled Wretched Body, the first part of a planned three-piece EP series that includes four songs, including the EP's title. And since then, Beth has just capped off an exciting UK-based tour as she plans to finish off a full-featured studio album set to be released in September of this year. We spoke to Miss Rowley on the inspiration for the upcoming album, as well as collaborations and current music whereabouts.
It's really great to be back talking about my music after, taking a bit of a hiatus there. So it's really exciting to finally have a collection of work, which I'm really excited about. And I definitely recommend taking a bit of a break. Anybody that does anything creative as their life kind of long work, it's always good just to take a bit of a break. So that was really, I found that really helpful. And so there's a bit of a change in direction, which is exciting. Yeah.
And what type of what would you say this album, if you can describe it in any way? I know you can't really divulge much information. Is it going to be involved with collaborative effort as far as other artists involved, or are you teaming up with anyone new? Musical influence?
Absolutely. So I've basically hooked up with a few new people, quite a lot of people over the years. I've been really fortunate to work with some really fantastic songwriters, some really fab other artists as well, who I've known for quite a long time. There's a writer called Ron Sexsmith, who I started writing with quite a few years ago, actually, and I got back in touch with him again not long ago and said, would you be up for recording this song that we'd written a while ago? So he's going to come on board and record one of the songs that we wrote, which I've never released. So that's really exciting. There's a couple of old faces as well. Good friends of mine who have been also from Spring Time are going to come on board, make an appearance. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, Ron Sexsmith, he's a wonderful musician, songwriter. So that should be quite exciting as well. Have you worked with him in the past?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. We worked together. I went actually to visit Ron Sexsmith in Canada a few years ago, and that was absolutely incredible. I got to hang out with him, and we just spent a whole bunch of time writing together. It was really fun. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, and so with your UK tour at its end, I'm assuming, right? Do you have any more upcoming dates coming up in the UK, or are you just focusing primarily now on finishing up and wrapping up the studio release?
Yeah, well, I guess we just did this kind of mini, we just did a bunch of gigs, basically a couple of weeks ago, and we have a bunch more booked in basically towards the end of March, just as a, you know, 'cause it's really good to keep playing live with the guys. We're really trying to create a live sound. Something always happens live that's really hard to capture on the album. So we're going to have a bunch kind of quite low-key ones. They're more just for us as a band to keep things going so that we can actually just get in the studio and capture what happens live, you know. So that's really exciting. And then, yeah, festivals over the summer. There's going to be festivals, mainly UK-based at the moment. We're just going to go back over some of the ground which I covered with the guys a few years ago, basically. So there's a certain amount of, you know, some of the old faces will see, lots of the festivals I played at years ago. And I love festivals so much. I'm a big fan of festivals. So yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah, and then the album is going to be coming out in September. So
oh, wow.
Between now and then, it's going to just be finishing the record off, which will be done in March, April time, and then touring, and then festivals, and there'll be a big tour just after the album's released in October. So it's going to be a busy year, yeah.
Wow, that's great. And as far as tour goes, do you hope to eventually pick up steam, maybe perhaps take on a tour in Western Europe or the States or anywhere other than the UK?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. In fact, when I was signed to Universal 3 years ago, the gigs that we did in Europe especially were always my favorite gigs, because they have a different approach to music, I've found, and they're so welcoming. Like before you've even sung a note, they're super keen, they're like totally supportive, and they really take care of you as well, you know, like they put you up in beautiful places, and they feed you well, you know, they really appreciate music, which is always such a wonderful thing to experience, you know. It's such a lovely thing.
Yeah, it's very rewarding as an artist, I would imagine. Yep.
I know, yeah, it is, absolutely. So Europe, definitely, probably that'll be the following year, so I imagine we're going to focus this year on the UK especially, and then we'll probably do a small little run in Europe. There's a couple of promoters that I know over there who are really keen just to get some stuff happening, so that's good. And then I have lots of friends in Nashville and Austin as well, so I imagine the new sound which I'm doing at the moment is going to be a lot more suited anyway. It's still blues, gospel inspired, it's got a lot more of an art rock kind of feel to it now. It's a lot heavier with lots of loud points with the band as well. They really go for it on some of the songs now, which is yeah, it's going to be quite different. I think some of the fans who have come to recent gigs are a bit surprised, but it's good. It's how I always imagined it, you know, way back when I first started. So it was good to take time out and figure it all out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you would. Yeah, I hope eventually you can come to the States, because the blues is a great scene and part of the Midwest in the United States.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I literally can't wait. I was just I spent 2 months in Nashville. This time last year, in fact, I was there for 2 months just writing and just hanging out there. I didn't do many gigs, really. I just went to hang out with some friends, and we just wrote loads of songs. And I'd never been before, so it was quite an eye-opener, you know. Have you been to Nashville? Have you spent much time there?
I have, yeah. And the blues are very big in Louisiana as well. Broadway area in Nashville, though, is it's legendary. But the Chicago blues in Chicago are very popular. And the blues in the Louisiana, the blues scene is huge there. So anywhere in the Midwest,
they've
embraced you very much there. So especially the jazz scene.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, you do describe yourself as having a lot of gospel, blues, soul, and sort of like a jazz influence. Do you describe this influence a lot of times when you write? I would imagine that, especially since you were taking time and kind of just taking in everything there. Do you think that that comes to inspiration when you're writing your music?
Yeah, I think more from the point of view, I think when people think of blues, it depends what sort of blues you're into, I guess, especially blues and gospel, especially. When I've spoken to people, they have a different idea quite often of what it means. And I guess for me, I used to sing lots of traditional blues and traditional jazz when I was younger. When I was growing up, I would just sing like loads of Ella Fitzgerald songs and loads of old blues tunes, like standards, you know, and I loved it. But I realized when I started writing my own songs, I loved the format of the songs and the structure and the approach to songwriting. So there's a few of those that definitely does show up on my new album, but I think more than that, it's more of a, I don't know, it's more of an approach to what you choose to sing about, you know. All my songs, all these new songs which I've written, like loads of them are prayers and loads of them are talking about very, you know, they're proper heart on the line songs from the point of view of, you know, like, yeah, they're emotional songs, and they're songs which basically are on the edge, you know, like they're not comfortable songs. You know, some of them are easier to, you know, easier lyric-wise than others, but the point, it isn't quite as a pleasant, you know, sweet and nice kind of approach anymore. I've decided that the whole element of the blues gospel thing, it's more of a spiritual thing where you're saying something which is at the heart of who you are, you know. So I guess that's the point of view I've tried to come at this from, you know, just making sure that I'm saying something which I really want to say about the world we are in now, and yeah, the frame of mind that I try and be in as much as possible, and also questions and things that make me angry, and you know, but generally speaking, you know, I try and be positive, you know, and I want music to be an uplifting thing. I definitely want people to feel enlightened and encouraged, because I think music's such an awesome, you know, it has the power to do that. So I guess that's the kind of approach I'm heading from. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Now, you know, I feel, from my own humble standpoint, your music brings a sense of nostalgia, but I think it resonates relatable through, you know, your past masterpieces. Like, you know, Wrapped Around My Little Finger, and then you do a lot of gorgeous renditions of standards and covers like Sunday Kind of Love. I often see a lot of many artists cover standards and they create their own. Do you prefer sort of creating that sound like you were speaking about earlier? I like the, when it's almost like you're making a standard of your own. I mean, you're using the essence of those old songs, but you're doing it in a way that's relatable to today. And it's your own. It's like your own jazz standard. It sounds like something that came out of, you know, 50, 60 years ago, but it resonates to today because it's your very own. It's just, I think people, I get tired of hearing the covers, but I think you do them justice. But a lot of people, they like to come back to those standards, and I like the whole, you know, it's a genre that I think gets kind of taken to the side, that whole jazz or even the blues, you know, just people creating their very own, and you're a singer-songwriter, so it, when you're singing it, it comes from a personal connection because you wrote the music as well. Do you feel that it's what is it your opinion in making it your own and you know, I guess relatable to this multi-genre industry that we have?
Yeah, no, I know. It's funny because I know what you mean, just from the point of view, like when I was growing up, I almost didn't really mind what I was singing, in the sense that I loved the genres, so I would just pick tunes out of those genres that I just loved and that I connected with, and I would just give it a go. I didn't really think too much about how I was going to do it. I would hear the original, and a lot of them I would think, wow, you know, like if you hear an Ella Fitzgerald song, for example, or one of the great singers, my first reaction was normally, you know, like, how do you do that? Or, I could never do that, you know, like, how do you even do something which makes it worthwhile attempting, when that's so awesome, you know. I was always a little bit nervous when I was younger to really attempt certain songs. And I thought, how can you compete with that in a way, you know, because they're perfect. They're perfect as they are, you know.
They are,
but, and then,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I kind of got over that just from the point of view of just singing, just a bit like on my own with my guitar, and also just enjoying it, like purely for fun. So I would just do it loads just on my own without anybody listening. And it was really that kind of essence, because there's so many amazing singers out there who can just totally smash. They sound awesome doing those old cover songs, you know, and I feel like it takes more than just a beautiful voice you have to be able to bring something with it, as you say, as an essence, you know, and I guess I try and do that. I guess I attempt to do
you
that with their songs,
well.
Which
yeah,
really grab me. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, I appreciate it, but it's you know, there are certain songs that I've attempted and I've thought, yeah, you should never have done that. You should never have bothered to do that, just because, you know, I think sometimes I love the idea of a song and I think, oh, you know, I love this song, I'd give it a go. And then, you know, even though I've enjoyed singing it, I know that I'm not really that connected to it, really. It's more of a vocal exercise, you know, it's more of a belter where you just want to sing really loudly, and it's enjoyable for sure, you know, but I much prefer, as I've gotten older, to find ones that kind of straddle the both worlds, you know,
Your emotion comes through the lyric, each lyric, and believe it more. So
yeah, basically, it's all about emotion for me. It's all about connecting, like connecting with an audience, and conveying something real, you know.
Yeah, and then you kind of have that soulful blues gospel type music that, you know, infused through your, you know, great songs that you've covered or put together, like Sweet Hours. So this album, is it gonna be infused with everything that you've done in the past, perhaps, or is it going to be more so gospel blues like you were describing?
Well, it's going to, yeah, so the first album, because I think I was like 24, 25 when I signed to the label I was with, and I had a bunch of songs ready, and there were songs, there was a collection of cover songs, like covers, and then also original songs. And then right before the album came out, they kind of had a bit of a change of heart at the label as to what kind of album they were envisaging it to be, which was it was a surprise from the point of view they hadn't mentioned it before, but not a surprise in the grand scheme of the way that labels work. So I was surprised, but then I kind of wasn't surprised. And I think a couple of the songs were remixed and remastered, and they were made a lot more, they kind of took a lot of the low end out. And so it was very high frequency stuff, which is great for the radio. And they kind of shortened lots of the songs and made them a lot poppier, especially a couple of the single ones there. So the album ended up sounding quite different. There was quite a few different styles. And I think people, even though they could see that I was clearly, you know, hopefully people could see I was passionate and I loved singing and performing, but it was a bit of a, I hadn't really nailed my colours to the mast as far as what I did. There was a few different styles on there, you know. So in this new album, I've tried to be a lot more, just pick a couple of things, just do that really well. They're things which I've always loved, and they've kind of stood the test of time, so I figured they would be good ones to go with. I like a few different styles, you see, so it's quite hard to pick, you know, which ones to go with. But I think, yeah, the blues, in essence, anything that's got the blues and the jazz feel is based in a traditional style of music. But as you say, you know, like those other songs, I'm really proud of that first album, because it's exactly where I was at the time. But it's kind of like when people, you know, if somebody finds an old photo of you and goes, oh, I love this, look, this is what you were like when you were 12. And you go, oh, yeah, cool, that's really exciting. But then at the same time, you don't really want to see a picture of you when you're 12 anymore, when you're like, you know, I'm 35 and I'm so, you know, I've been dedicated my whole life to doing music and I love it. And I've taken this time out and I'm so pleased that I've done that, because I didn't know, you know, back then what I know now about myself and what I like and what's really important to me in my life. And taking time out has really allowed me to just, yeah, basically discover layers of all that, you know, all that stuff, and it puts things in the right perspective, in the right order. And so musically, maybe it's not going to be as poppy, it's not going to have so much of the pop element to it, but definitely lots of drums, electric guitar, harmonica, lots of blues harmonica. And I've been listening to loads of new music. I discovered the Talk, you know that band Talk?
Yes, yeah.
I discovered loads of their music and I heard it and just thought, it just changed my world. I absolutely am just obsessed with it. And early Velvet Underground stuff. Yeah. And there's this singer, Anna Calvi, who's fantastic. Like, I listen to her stuff all the time. And I'm just, that's definitely the kind of, maybe not as left field as Anna. I mean, I know, you know, like, her, I'm such a huge fan of hers. I don't envisage my stuff being quite as left as that. It's, you know, her stuff's very experimental, and she's pushing stuff a lot with, you know, musically and time signatures, and her playing is fantastic, you know. So I don't imagine mine being quite as experimental as that, but from, you know, the talk point of view, that, you know, all the sounds that they use and the textures and the colors, and there's kind of moments of real chaos and real moments of kind of confusion, but then overlaid just with very, like, hopefully clear messages and beauty, moments of beauty, I hope. Yeah.
Oh man, I love hearing that. I love hearing your insight. Now, as far as, I guess I would say, is it nice to, are you independent now?
Yes,
Is it nice to own your own masters and not have that, you know, the dictation of how you're going to sound? Because everything is, you know, with these big labels, it's, you know, you don't probably get to own your masters, and they tell you how, you know, what's going to sell, and they overproduce the songs, and it sounds terrible. Sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know.
Not with yours, but...
Sometimes, yeah. No, it's true, though. I think sometimes, because it seems like over... Things have changed, obviously, drastically since I last released any music. And of course I was on a big label, which is, you know, a big machine, who have their ways of doing stuff. So things have just changed so much, so I'm really excited. I haven't got a label at the moment. There's a couple of small labels who I'm just going to be going with, just to release the album. It'd be really great. At the moment we're looking for a licensing deal, which would be fab, just so there's a vehicle to actually get the music out there. But at the moment, I guess the thing is, I'm not worried about there being this big release very quickly, which means I don't need so much money up front to invest in it, which means there's not so much of a need for a label to get the money back quickly, which I think is where the compromises begin to be made, because they need so much of a comeback, you know, financially so quickly, you know. Which, but I guess at the moment, you know, everybody pretty much has to make their own album, because it's so cheaper to make music at the moment, so much cheaper, you know. So many of the, especially in London, where I've been living for 6 years, so many of the big labels have closed, and producers, you know, that, you know, it's changed so much. It's been a real eye-opener the last couple of years trying to make this album, and it's just completely not possible to make that album in anything like the same way as I did last time. But I'm very excited that I'm going to be able to make it the way I want it to be made, without anybody else needing, you know, understandably, I guess if a company is investing a lot of money, they have an interest to make sure it's going to sell. But I guess that's where the problem, you know, was last time, because I didn't particularly agree that it was the right move to change any of the music or get them remixed and things, you know. So I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm very excited. I think it's a really exciting time to be making new music independently, especially because I think the fans just speak for themselves. You know, I'm really excited just to get out there and have a real focus on the live element as well. You know, I know definitely need to sell albums. People. Especially the feedback I've been getting from these gigs and online social media is that people just really want an album, which is so exciting after 8 years that people are still so so keen. Yeah, I know, and I'm just overwhelmed by that, really, because, you know, in this industry, if you don't record anything for a while, people just think you've stopped and, you know, had a million kids and moved out to the country and not doing it anymore, you know. Whereas it's not always the case. I mean, I have several friends who have, you know, who are singers and still doing it, and they have families, and so that's totally possible as well. And but I'm excited to I'm really excited to get it out there and really put the focus on the connection with the fans and let them do the talking, really, you know, because I don't think you need to have everything straight away, and I'm really keen to build on the foundation of the people that are already there. So it's been really encouraging. I'm definitely starting this year feeling like this is the year. I've been saying for ages I'm going to have an album, and it's not happened due to several different reasons, which has been frustrating, you know. So I'm so excited. It's like having a baby inside you for 3-4 years, yeah. And then finally getting it out.
Well, I'm glad you recognize what's important through the fans and the music process, and you know, your personal life taking a break. I appreciate you giving us your time. I know you have to take on for in a bit. I'd love to talk when the album actually comes out, so we could talk more about and deeper in the tracks if that.
Absolutely. I'd love to. It's so good. I mean, I haven't done. There's been a handful of these that I've been doing recently, and it's been so lovely. Like immediately, I used to do this all the time. You know, when I was a few years ago, and it's just been quiet for a while. So it's so good. It just gives me so much energy just to talk about it. And the more you talk about it, and the more you get excited, the more. It encourages you, so I appreciate you requesting it. Yeah,
no, thank you.
It's really encouraging.
I just want to make sure that we can talk to you when you start getting busy again, really busy.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, you have this number now. This is so Candice, who was messaging you, she works at the management company, okay. So this is her phone. But if you keep this number. She'll definitely be in touch as soon as there's any more news or any time, in fact. But whenever you fancy doing any ideas you have or anything, I'm more than happy. I'm more than happy to get the ball rolling and build on this. And hopefully I'll be able to come to the US.
Yes, please, hopefully.
As soon as possible.
Well, thank you so much, cool. Beth, and we look forward to talking to you and the many great things that you're about to do.
Oh, thank you so much. You. I appreciate
you
it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to follow Beth on all of her music whereabouts by visiting BethRowley.com or see her on Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever digital music is sold. And be sure to keep your eyes and ears wide open for her upcoming album, Gotta Free Ya, coming in September of this year. For Beth Rowley and Music Spotlight, I'm Michael Thomas Jr., and this is what you need to know on Radio Free Phoenix.
Sweeter than today, so much sweeter than today, so much sweeter than today. Thank you. Quickly.